The 2020 Democratic presidential primary is one of the most interesting elections in U.S. history. Democrats in 14 states and one U.S. territory just voted on Super Tuesday, March 3rd. Former Vice President Joe Biden had a game-changing momentum on Super Tuesday, sweeping 10 states, while Senator Bernie Sanders captured 4 states. Who will be the next Democratic presidential nominee to take on Trump in the general election? I caught up with Steve Okun, senior advisor at McLarty Associates, who served in the Clinton administration as deputy general counsel at the U.S. Department of Transportation from 1994 to 1999 on the state of the presidential race. Thanks for joining, Steve. Wow, what a terrific and dramatic comeback for Joe Biden. What are your key takeaways from Super Tuesday?
Well, what you saw was the Democratic Party coalescing around the moderate candidate and saying we are not going to have a repeat of 2016 like the Republicans had, when an outsider gets less than a majority of the vote, but still gets enough delegates to be the nominee, and that was Donald Trump. And so the Democrats didn't want that to happen to them. They rallied around Joe Biden, and he became the nominee, or will become the nominee.
Do we anticipate there'll be a contested convention in July?
Well, look, the Democrats want to do everything possible to keep that from happening, because a contested convention is not in the Democratic Party's interest. If you end up going to a second ballot, and whichever candidate who got came in first or second in the contest leading up to the contested convention but doesn't get the nomination, their supporters are going to be angry. They may stay home. So the Democrats are doing everything they can to prevent that, and that's by rallying around Joe Biden, making sure he hits that magic number of 1,991 delegates when he gets to the convention.
But the question is about the electability of Joe Biden. Do you think he will win the general election this November?
Well, it's too soon to tell. I think we're safe to assume it's going to be a close election, no matter who the candidate is. But the Democrats' presumption is that a moderate is going to have a better chance against Donald Trump than a liberal like either Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. And so the Democrats were trying to figure out who is that moderate who's going to be most electable. Is it Joe Biden? Is it Pete Buttigieg? Is it Amy Klobuchar? Is it Michael Bloomberg? And the Democrats decided that their best chance is Joe Biden.
It's interesting they make the assumption that Joe Biden is the best choice to appeal to the moderate voters in November. But that was the exact same strategy employed by the Clinton campaign back in 2016. But unfortunately, Hillary Clinton lost the election despite winning more popular votes. Do you think the political climate in America has fundamentally changed, that Democrats somehow need a nominee like Bernie Sanders to excite some of the extreme voters, including Trump's base?
Well, as you mentioned, the Democrats under Hillary Clinton got more votes than the Republicans. The Republicans won, or Donald Trump in particular, won 3 key states, you know, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, by a collective vote of under 80,000. So the question is there a candidate better than Hillary Clinton who can get those 80,000 votes back? Democrats believe that Joe Biden can get those votes back, and that's why he's the nominee. The Democrats are also smarter in 2020. Hillary Clinton never went to Wisconsin in the entire campaign. That is a terrible decision that she and her campaign made. The Democrats learned from that, and they put the Democratic National Convention in Wisconsin in 2020 to make sure that they can win that state this time around.
Okay, we'll find out in a couple of months. But back to the primary. The 2016 Democratic primary was also a very contested one, with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton fought almost till the very end. Bernie Sanders is running again this time around with a much more formidable momentum. Does this ongoing progressive movement have any implications for the Democratic Party? Are we observing a Tea Party moment for the Democratic Party?
Well, the Democrats want to avoid that Tea Party moment, and they're trying to do this in a couple ways. First, the party overall has shifted to the left. Even though Bernie Sanders wasn't the nominee in 2016 and will almost certainly not be the nominee either in 2020, it doesn't mean he hasn't had an influence on the party and has moved it to the left. So the Democrats have changed some for Bernie Sanders. The other issue is that Donald Trump is now very well known to the American people. He's very well known to the Democrats. And the 2020 election is a referendum. It's not a referendum. It's a choice. It's going to be a choice of, do the Democratic voters, even if they preferred Sanders, do they want Trump over Biden? And that is where the Democrats are going to have to try and make sure they keep the Bernie voters voting Democratic.
What about beyond this election? Can the Democratic Party have an Obama-like figure who is more energetic, charismatic, and more importantly, younger, to reunite the party and potentially the whole country?
Well, that is certainly the hope that the Democrats have. But what President Obama was, you know, a once-in-a-generation political talent. The same as Bill Clinton, you know, 20 years before him was a once-in-a-generation political talent. So you can't count on somebody like Bill Clinton or Barack Obama to show up and bring your party together. Hopefully, the Democrats will do the hard work that they need to do to bring the various factions of the party together. The, you know, African Americans and the Latinos and the blue collar workers and the college educated and people who are more globalist in nature, but also believe that there should be, you know, a social safety net that the government provides. It's very hard to weave all those factions of the Democratic Party together. Bill Clinton was able to do it. Barack Obama was able to do it. And maybe Donald Trump will be able to do it for the Democrats.
Let's assume that Joe Biden is the presumptive nominee, and it will be important for him to pick a more likable, a more energetic candidate, maybe Michelle Obama as his running mate. They can then rebuild the whole rainbow coalition that Barack Obama built back in 2008.
Well, I certainly think the nominee for vice president under Joe Biden would be a woman. I think you need to have an inclusive ticket. The Democratic Party is very diverse. There are many, many qualified women in the Democratic Party to be vice president, the same as there are in the Republican Party. So the Democratic Party should have a woman as the vice presidential nominee, and you want to have a woman who is going to appeal to the voters you need to win in November, and that includes the Republican college-educated suburban white women who tend to vote Republican, but they don't like a lot of what Donald Trump has done. If you have somebody like Amy Klobuchar, like Kamala Harris, like somebody like Senator Patty Murray from Washington, doesn't have to be somebody who necessarily ran for president, you can get those voters to come to the Democratic Party. So I would look for a younger, moderate woman to be the vice presidential nominee. I don't know it'll be Michelle Obama, but I think that'd be the dream choice. I don't think that's a realistic one, so I think it'll be somebody.
It might be a dream choice because Joe Biden recently, he mentioned during a rally recently that if Michelle Obama agrees, he will have no hesitation to invite her over to become the VP running mate.
Well, she's never run for office. She's never shown any inclination that she wants to run for office. So I think that's, you know, until we see that, I wouldn't believe it. But I certainly think that she would add to the ticket. But I think so would Amy Klobuchar. I think Kamala Harris. I think any number of women would add to the ticket for Joe Biden and make it much tougher for Donald Trump to win the general election.
Yeah, it's time for a change. So
I don't know that was Joe Biden's slogan. I think that was Barack Obama's. But we'll take it again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That he would do that in 2020.
What if Joe Biden becomes the next president? What happens to the Democratic Party? Can he really restore the soul of America?
Well, I think you have to have realistic expectations. The country is very partisan right now. There's a lack of trust both ways. I mean, there was a poll I saw that, you know, like literally 80% of Republicans think that all Democrats are socialists, and literally 80% of all Democrats think all Republicans are racist. It is not going to change overnight. You need to find some confidence-building measures, and Joe Biden, if anybody can do it, he can do it. He can work with Republicans on fixing the healthcare system without going to, you know, Medicare for all. He can work with Republicans on infrastructure. It is such a mess in the United States, the infrastructure we have there. Mm-hmm. And Biden can work with Republicans on that. So if you start small, you work on things where Republicans and Democrats agree, the immigration, it needs reform. Start with some small things, and then you build confidence up. It's not going to be fixed overnight, no matter who the next president is. But that's certainly the approach Joe Biden takes. It's why people think he's very electable. Now, it's going to be a tough race against Donald Trump, no question. But that is why he was attractive and came out of the Democratic primary.
But the question is, under Donald Trump, the Republican Party isn't no longer the Abraham Lincoln Republican Party, becoming more like a Trump Party, that it's so hard to make compromise to work across the aisle at the moment.
It's almost impossible, because Donald Trump has played to his base. Now, his base is a very small but loyal part of the Republican Party. The Democratic Party is the majority party in the United States from a population perspective, but because of the Electoral College, geographically, mm-hmm. the Republicans have an advantage. And Donald Trump has never run to expand his base. He has always thought of how to solidify that base and to win as narrowly as possible in the Electoral College. So if Donald Trump leaves the Republican Party, either 4 years from now or 8 years from now, or I should say either you know, 8 months from now or 4 years from now,
yes.
then there may be a change. But very hard to see any change under the leadership of Donald Trump, because he's done the same thing every day since he rode down that golden, you know, escalator in Trump Tower declaring for president.
But according to national poll right now, Trump's approval rating isn't too bad at 49%. And the U.S. economy seems to be doing fine, with U.S. unemployment rate at a 50-year low. However, there are some potential risks. An inverted yield curve, which sends a warning signal that there might be a recession soon, and the outbreak of the coronavirus, which the global economy is crippled by both demand and supply shock. The Fed just cut interest rate in an emergency move. And recently, Trump faces some backlash over his response to the COVID-19 situation in America. Does he need to be worried, or it will go away by November?
Well, 2 points I'll make. First, Donald Trump is the first president who's never had his popularity rating above 50% during his first term in office. So he does have an uphill battle convincing a majority of the country that he should be reelected. He has the Electoral College advantage, but he does go in with a negative rating, even though the economy has been, as you say, up good, mm-hmm. you know, up to this point. Now, when it comes to COVID-19, presidents are expected to be competent in handling a crisis. And any president who has failed to handle a crisis competently has paid a price for it in terms of the polls. It applies to Democrats. It applies to Republicans. It applied to Barack Obama when the rollout of healthcare.gov was a disaster. His ratings, his approval ratings went down. The way that President Bush, you know, George W. Bush, responded to Hurricane Katrina mm-hmm. was seen as incompetent. His poll numbers came way down. Now, if Donald Trump and his administration is seen as incompetently handling the COVID-19 crisis, his numbers will come down. And it won't be about politics. It'll be about competence. On the other hand, if the crisis is faced with competence and the United States does everything right and it limits the community spread and it limits the hit to the economy, he could get positive marks out of it. So it's going to take a few months to know how it's going to impact him, but it's something he should be worried about, that he needs to handle it properly.
Okay. If Trump is reelected or a Democratic president retakes the White House, will U.S. trade policy change much?
Well, U.S. trade policy is not changing under Donald Trump. That is, he has been very clear that he favors a unilateral and a bilateral approach over a multilateral one. He favors using tariffs as a way to dictate to other countries what their trade policy should be vis-a-vis the United States. Joe Biden will not do those things. He will be much more multilateral. He will go back to working with NATO on foreign policy. He'll look for multilateral actions to take against China, you know, not going it alone and necessarily using tariffs, but maybe working with Japan and the EU and Australia when it comes to changing China's unfair trade practices. I don't think we're going to see the TPP right away under Joe Biden, but it's going to be a shift in approach. But the U.S., the view of China is going to be the same under Democrats as it is under Republicans. The United States sees that China has taken unfair advantage over the years against the United States. It's made promises it has not kept in terms of marketing opening, if not in letter, it will certainly in spirit, and it needs to be a new approach to China. And that's going to be true under Biden as it is under Trump.
Although there is a consensus to go tough on China inside the Beltway, if Joe Biden becomes the president, he has to work with state and local governments, for example, university presidents, as well as state governors who favor Chinese investments. How is he going to do that?
Well, the balance right now is that the United States is trying to figure out how it competes with China and where it can cooperate with China. So it's going to compete with China on technology without question. But it needs to cooperate with China when it comes to the environment. It needs to cooperate in China, in the South China Sea, to make sure that there's a peaceful resolution to the disputes that are going on right now. When it comes to economics, it's going to be some type of mix between those two. And I think you might see a Biden administration might be a little bit more cooperative and a Trump administration continue to be more in looking at it as a competitive relationship, been, you know, merging sometimes into a relationship of confrontation. But it is going to be a different relationship, and it doesn't matter, you know, what some of the states and businesses and, you know, non-state actors want. The White House has tremendous power when it comes to foreign policy and when it comes to trade.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting election year. We'll stay tuned. Thank you very much, Steve.